Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, please call us at 941-206-1580. Once again, that number, locally, 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. Once again, that's 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Don't you just love that music? Oh, I just love it. I love music.
It puts you in such a nice, nice frame of mind.
Yes, it's really, really, really wonderful. And I am so happy that I'm here today with everyone. We have Dr. Katzen and Zane is here. And I want to thank our wonderful guests that we had last Friday. We had Dr. Kathy Maupin, who wrote the book, The Secret Female Hormone: How Testosterone Replacement Can Change Your Life. Now, all you women out there, you need to read this book. This is a life changer. And all you gentlemen who have someone in your life, it's a good book to read too, so you can understand what happens to us ladies after the menopause and some of the things that can happen. So, on both sides, it's a great book. You should read it. Now, as you know, we have two books that are actually dedicated by Dr. Maupin. She wrote a note in there. And you can get those books for free. We will give you the book, but we just want you to please go ahead and send an email to AskDrTriana@Triana, T-R-I-A-N-A, PreventionCenter.com.
And you're going to critique the,
yeah,
the program. The program is online if you want to listen to it.
Yeah,
again,
you can listen to it. We have all our shows are archived at the TrianaPreventionCenter.com website. So you can, if you missed it last Friday's show, this is a great show. You know, I am really working hard to bring you these great, great guests that are so important for your health, for your life, for your well-being. So we need to take advantage that we have such incredible people here on our show. Don't you think so, Dr. Katzen?
No question about that. And she was wonderful.
She was awesome. And if you email Ask Dr. Triana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com and give us a critique of the show, what you like, maybe you don't like, or what you thought about the show that we had with Dr. Maupin, and you could be a winner and win a book. We have two books, and they're dedicated by Dr. Maupin.
And not only is Dr. Triana wearing a very beautiful and colorful shirt today, but she's still smiling because she got to talk to one of her heroes last week.
Yeah.
Dr. Maupin.
Dr. Maupin, she is such a, I looked up to her. She's so cool. And I'm so excited because with her information and all the work that I've been doing, I also am helping men and women to balance their hormones. And it is a pleasure to see people feel good.
Oh, right, right. And she's a pioneer in that work. And the most important thing is we take people who are not really sick and make them feel better.
Right. And also with our prevention that we do at the Triana Prevention Center, as you all know, I'm a family physician. But I am here also to help manage your cholesterol, which is lipids. And I'm a menopause specialist, so we can help you with menopause. And I'm also helping men. And the men are really grateful, too, to help balance out their hormones. In the future, we're going to have some of the leaders about testosterone therapy, because I know there's a lot of buzzword out there. And some of the things we're going to talk about today are what I call hot health topics. So I want everyone to listen. But I'm going to start off first with what body part am I? So everyone listen, because this is really important. I am part of the circulatory system. I live a short life. I work so hard taking oxygen to your cells and removing carbon dioxide. To you, when you see me, I start off red, and then I wind up blue. So this is very, very important, and I want everyone, the phone lines are 206-1580, and it's What Body Part Am I? And we've got a lot of interesting topics today, so I want you to really listen hard. You know, we just love doing this show, and the show we love doing is because, and I'm getting feedback, oh, Zane, don't give it away.
I won't, no.
Zane already guessed it. I'm getting so much wonderful feedback on Facebook from some of our listeners saying, what a great show to listen to, so straightforward. But you know what? If you have a question, you can call and you can ask it. I'm here for you. So that's really, really important. So what is one of the hot topics today that I think we need to address that is unfortunately scaring a lot of people? And that would be, if you go to my Facebook page, you can like it, Dr. Elizabeth Triana, friend the page, or go ahead and like the show, The Slippery Slope of Lipids, and it keeps you abreast of who are going to be the guests. It's really important that we want you to know who our guests are going to be. And we want you to listen to the show, so anticipation. Remember that right. Carly Simon song? I love that song. Anticipation. So let's try to build up some anticipation for our wonderful guest. So we're going to talk about what's really in the news right now. And if you have a question, remember 206-1580. Ebola, hemorrhagic fever. That is one scary thing, isn't it?
Well, that really is a scary thing. But there's good and bad and everything. And the Ebola outbreak that's going on in Africa now obviously has been a larger outbreak than ever before. Ebola is a relatively new virus, which was described originally, I think, in 1976 by a Danish pathologist who was sent a blood sample. And the first outbreak was in East Africa in a place called Zaire, Z-A-I-R-E. The current outbreak is in West Africa, and there are probably three or four different strains of Ebola. But Ebola, the name Ebola, is named after a river in the Congo. So we have this virus that infects people, and the only way you can get the infection is by contact with body fluids. You can get it by blood of in the initial phases of the infection. People are nauseous, they vomit. You want to clean that up.
So we know that transmission is through direct blood or secretions of an infected person or exposure to objects, needles, contaminated secretions. We want to be very clear about this. Now, I want everyone to know the information that we present in our program, for example, today, is from the CDC.
That's correct.
And I like everyone to know where our information is coming from. It's very important to know. And also books on infectious disease. It is a scary disease. And we know that when there is an outbreak, it can spread very quickly in healthcare settings because the healthcare workers are exposed unless they use protective equipment such as masks, gowns, and gloves.
Right. Now, one of the things that happens in Africa and other undeveloped countries, frequently there's a sharing of needles even in a medical facility. So a needle that might be used to take a blood sample on one patient can be used in another patient.
We don't do that in this country.
No.
That's a big N-O, no.
Well, everything in this country is disposable, and we throw it away. Just use it one time.
Do they make any attempt to sterilize the needles by boiling? Or
they do. They do. Okay. They wash them. They clean them.
Still.
But I've been in some of those hospitals there, and it's really hard to realize you're really in a hospital.
Yeah,
so that starts a few people,
and it's very important that they also, in some cultures, when they, unfortunately, when the person passes away, the family members are the ones.
The family members will wash the body, and the body's been puking and bleeding. And so just the fact that they wash the body, it puts them in intimate contact with the virus. And that's how the virus is spread. Many viral diseases that we know about are spread by aerosol, like the flu. You sneeze, you cough, whatever. But this virus is not spread that way.
Because it's a big virus.
It's a very large virus, right. Now, where does it come from? Well, there was some thought some years ago that it came from monkeys. But it really comes, I think the belief now is that it comes from infected fruit bats, which are a delicacy to eat, but an eating delicacy of people who in that part of Africa. They take these fruit bats, and when they butcher them, they handle the blood. And right. that's how one person can get infected.
So there is five different type of Ebola viruses, and one of them, yes, is in primates or monkeys, non-humans. But it's important to know that they don't feel that it originated in the monkey, but most likely in these bats.
Yes.
So that's really, really important to know. So we know also that what is the risk of exposure? Well, the risk of exposure in Africa has been known to be in different countries: Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Democratic Republic of Congo, Gabon, South Sudan, Ivory Coast, Uganda, Republic of the Congo. Now, they had also in South Africa. Now, it's really that was imported in. So it's really important that we know that the transmission from humans can occur through secretions.
Right. Now, the unfortunate thing about this virus is that there is no effective treatment except for supportive treatment. So, and the fatality rate of infected people is in the 70 to 90% range. Now, they have treated some people with the plasma of people who have survived the previous infection. And there was a that I read yesterday of 9 patients, and 8 they were given the plasma of patients who had been previously infected and survived.
Well, that's really important because, again, it's all about your immune system. We've discussed about your immune system. That is your system that fights infection, foreign bodies. Now, the way to diagnose the Ebola virus, there's different diagnostic tests that done, and those are blood tests, also check for antibodies. Now, what are the symptoms of Ebola? It's really important that people understand.
Well, it starts out just like a regular cold. Maybe you have the people start to cough and whatever, but as the disease progresses, there is involvement of the GI tract and a lot of nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. And eventually, if a patient comes to the disease, they bleed from all their orifices, from their nose, from their mouth, from their eyes, the rectum, and so.
That's why it's called Ebola hemorrhagic fever, because they get a high fever, headache, joint muscle aches, weakness, diarrhea, vomiting, stomach pain, decreased appetite, sore throat. They might have difficulty swallowing. And it's very important to know that symptoms may appear anywhere from 2 to 21 days after exposure, and 8 to 10 days is most common. Now, we're not here to scare anybody, and we're going to explain that this is not going to be, according to the CDC chief, a problem, but we want you to understand what it is. We hear it in the news. You know, the news is really just little snippets of information, and we want our audience to understand things at another level.
Right, and as bad as it is, only been about 1,200 people exposed in this epidemic. Diagnosed cases in this epidemic.
Right. So we know that the treatment includes fluid, oxygen, any complicating infection. And like you said, they're trying to use antibodies to help patients with that.
That's right.
Supportive care. It's really more supportive care.
Right. It depends. The patient's ability to survive depends a lot on their immune system. If their immune system is suppressed for some reason, or they have some other illness going on, then they're more likely to succumb to the virus.
So the big thing to understand now, and this is noted by the CDC, that there are these affected areas, and that was put out today. So the CDC has given this. Now, head of the CDC said that it is helping to screen airline passengers for illnesses before they leave Africa. And the head of the CDC, his name is Director Thomas Frieden, he said that if the U.S., if there is a case that any U.S. hospital with an intensive care unit, and I'm would be sufficient to isolate patients. He said there is no potential of Ebola spreading widely in the U.S., that it is not in the cards. Now, this is a direct quote from the director of the CDC, and I'm not here to scare anybody, just to let people know what the CDC is saying, and I wanted everyone to understand what is this disease.
Right. And I think what is the CDC? The CDC is the Center for Disease Control. It's a federal agency.
And you can go to cdc.gov if you want more information. They also have some graphic pictures too. But, you know, I mean, I think the important thing here is information.
Right.
And understanding. So there is a way to prevent that. And by preventing, again, protective clothing, masks, gloves, gowns, goggles, infectious control measures, complete sterilization, and routine use of disinfectants. And unfortunately, in some of these countries, they may not have all the resources.
Right.
And isolation of the patients from contact with unprotected persons.
Well, so, you see the news, and you can see the clothing that these people are wearing, but you don't see really many physicians. There was one of them, two physicians, then one of them happens to be...
That was actually a surviving.
Yes.
Yeah, it's about 70% of people unfortunately passed away. So this is a very important to understand what's happening in the news. And we have a caller. Hello, caller. What's your first name?
Mike, I was wondering if you can answer or tell us a little bit about the flesh-eating bacteria that may or may not be in our water, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, yes, we're going to do a program on that. There was a case in Sarasota of the Vibrio, and how it enters in people's who have cuts or wounds, and then they go into the water and get infected. And it's usually affecting people who have a poor immune system. We are going to have a program focused on that. Today we also have that will be on our next program, but right. I'm glad you called.
All right, we're really not ready to discuss that today.
Well,
just broadly.
Broadly, but we'll give more details into that, because today we also have a very interesting topic that after we're going to talk about, which is Chagas disease, and I think that's very important. But Mike, thank you for your call. And also, waiting to hear from somebody about what body part am I at 206-1580. That's really important. And again, if you want to be in the running, as I say, for that free book that Dr. Maupin has dedicated, Secret Female Hormone, again, email us at drtriana@trianaventioncenter.com. So if you're a little shy also, and you have other questions that you might want to ask us, and you don't want to call on the phone, you know, you can get a hold of us that way too.
Yes. And I think one of the greatest revelations of that book in us is, and the most difficult thing for women to accept, is that the dominant hormone in their body is testosterone. Greater levels of testosterone are
than estradiol.
So it's very difficult for women to accept that. Now, some guys look at their women, accept it.
Okay. But it's really important to understand that men and women, we all have the same hormones, but it's a different ratio. and our receptors are different. So that's really, really important. And you know, there was a program on the on one of the local on the TV shows. I'm not going to mention the name. Getting testosterone or not for men. They didn't talk women. And everything they talked about was kind of nebulous. They didn't go to the studies on how it actually promotes bone health. It helps the brain. And, you know, it isn't just about looking or feeling young, though men do. But it's about health prevention. It's about keeping your body, your muscle mass. And they did talk about muscle mass up. How many people out there, unfortunately, have become frail? I know I myself do not want to become frail. And we talked about there's no magic hormone out there that give you without the important things, which is diet, exercise, you know, watching what you're eating.
And the thorough evaluation on the front end.
You got to have a thorough evaluation.
That's what I was going to say. I was just thinking that because before you enter any exercise program or even decide to become active, go see your first. Get the green light from them.
Right.
Right. And if you feel you have hormone deficiency, you need to check your levels. It's really, it's based in science. And again, I've said this before, you know, and if you have your gas tank is full, you're not going to put gas in it. But if you need it, you would benefit from it. So it's really important to check the levels.
And really, the goal of your therapy is not to create a Superman, but just to replace the level of hormones that normally kind of dissipate with aging.
Right. So the important thing is, and you know, everyone, we talk about diet, right? So there was a study, and it came out, New England Journal of Medicine, Journal Watch, that, you know what? It does pay to eat your fruits and vegetables. It really does, because it does decrease your mortality.
Mom was right.
That's right. And this is important, too, for people who are worried about aging or want to be. And I love the way they said, how do fruits and vegetables love us? Let us count the ways. Is that cute?
Right.
Well, they do. Let's count the ways. Well, oh my goodness. What isn't that important to know that they put together all these studies and it was done by the British Medical Journal? And yes, up to 5 total servings of fruits and vegetables lower the risk for all-cause mortality. Wow. Isn't that, I mean, come on. We thought it was a no-brainer. Now they have studies that, yes, it does make a difference. But remember, I myself am doing the lean and green diet. And if you have any questions on that diet, you can also email me or come and see me as a patient.
And you're doing very well.
I'm doing very well. I myself am hitting the 16-pound mark, which it's been a slow go. But I'm very happy to say that I am doing the lean and green diet. And it's very simple. I eat vegetables. I don't eat any fruit because fruit turns into sugar. And everyone out there, if you even have a sense that you are going to be a diabetic or a pre-diabetic, this is the program for you. Because truthfully, if you follow the lean and green diet, you're really not hungry. I mean, you know, I would say 90% of hunger is in your brain. It's between your ears.
Right. And diabetes is in epidemic proportions in our country now. And if you have a mother or a father who had diabetes, you have a very good chance. If both of them had diabetes, it's probably well over 80% that you're going to get it too.
So if you're at high risk, what are the risks? Again, obesity. But, you know, people who are overweight are not the only people who get diabetes. Thin people can also become diabetic. And it's important to know that also genetics plays a role. Lack of exercise plays a role. People who overindulge in alcohol, that's really important. So let's take our little break now, and then we have Chagas disease.
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A Prevention Center, all one word, .com, if you'd like to catch up on previous shows. There is an archive going back to the beginning of the show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently and will ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our numbers are area code 941-206-1580 and toll free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana and Dr. Katzen.
And good morning again. I hope everyone is enjoying the show. Now, we haven't heard anybody guess what body part am I.
We ought to maybe repeat the question.
We are going to repeat the question. I'm going to give more clues, too. Okay, what body part am I? I'm a part of the body of the circulatory system. Now, maybe the other clue to give is that I am a cell. I live a short life. I work so hard because I take oxygen to your cells and I remove carbon dioxide. To you, I start off red and I end up blue. Now, it's really important that you think about this. It's really, it's a cell. It's a workhorse cell, and it's very important. And it's related to the topic that we were talking about the Ebola hemorrhagic virus and what it does to us. So that's really important. So if you know the answer, give us a call at 206-1580. And again, or you can email us for those books. So I'm really excited about the next topic, which is very interesting. And Dr. Katzen, you're going to talk to us. Chagas, oh, we've got a caller. Hi, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your first name, caller?
Stanley.
Hi, Stanley. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Would it be a white blood cell?
Oh, not quite that.
Close, but no cigar.
Yes, but thank you for calling. Okay, Stanley had gave a, but if you all think hard, you'll get the answer. Okay, it is a cell. It's not the white blood cell.
He was close.
He was very, very close. Okay, so Dr. Katzen's going to talk to us. You know, we talked about the Ebola virus, and that's a virus. Now we're going to talk about a parasite.
Right. We're going to talk about Chagas disease. Chagas disease is an infection of an organism we call a protozoa, which is a single-celled animal. There's a lot of protozoans in this world. And it was first described in 1906 by a doctor by the name of Chaga. So it's been coined Chaga disease. The disease usually was confined to Central and South America, mainly in Bolivia. But I read last week that there were several cases diagnosed in North and South Carolina this year.
Oh, boy.
Now, the disease is an interesting disease because the only way to get the disease is to be bitten by a very specific type of bug that has already bitten somebody that has the parasite. Now, these bugs, they're called by a variety of different names, triatomine bugs, Rayduvid bugs, or whatever, but they suck blood, and when they do, they defecate.
They poop.
Yeah.
Now and the protozoan is in their poop, right?
Yeah, the protozoan is in their poop. Now, the reason why they sometimes are referred to as kissing bugs is because they're nocturnal. So they usually will bite people in their sleep and then on their face, and then they'll scratch and they'll inoculate themselves with the protozoa. So this protozoa, the protozoans are called trypanosomes. Now, trypanosomes in Africa cause sleeping sickness, which is a very, very fatal disease. And this American trypanosome makes people sick. It's a chronic disease, And if it's not treated, and there are antibiotics for the treatment of the disease, then eventually the disease will cause cirrhosis of the liver and can even get into the brain and cause damage there.
So now, we have a picture of the bug on our Facebook page.
Right.
So if anybody wants to see the bug, and you can see what it looks like. And yes, there are those bugs here in Florida too, right?
Right, here. I'm looking at a picture here which shows the whole southern half of the United States having these bugs. Now, the reason why we don't see more of the disease here is because the bugs are here, but the infected people are not. But as more and more people come up from South America, and we're having this tremendous infusion of people, and we don't know anything about their health, whether they're kids or whatever, then the potential to spread Chagas disease to the southern portion of the United States is great. The bugs live in the in mud and in palm fronds, and that's one of the reasons why they and where housing is primitive, like in Bolivia and other places in South America where people are relatively poor, they come out at night, and that's when they bite.
So, in other words, you could be a carrier also of this disease after you get infected, correct?
Right, because the first infection is like most other infections. People don't know. It's a nondescript thing. It's sort of like getting a bad cold, or you might even get a rash where...
Or a red nodule, yeah, right? The chagnoma?
Right, where the inoculation occurred.
Inoculation means where the bug bit you.
Right.
So that's really important to know. You get a red nodule.
Right, right. It's just like a mosquito bite or an ant bite or something like that.
But it's usually a hard red nodule. And then a lot of times people will get it in their eyes.
Right. And one of the signs of infection is a swelling of the upper eyelid, and that's called Romano's sign. When people who live in Bolivia and in that part of Central and South America.
Hello, caller. How you doing?
Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
Fine. What's your question?
I got a question. I wanted to give you an answer to that question you had. Would it be red blood cells?
Yay! Yes, yes, yes. And what's your first name?
Peter.
Peter!
Yeah, and I got something else to put into your conversation.
Yes?
They got all those kids coming from South America and all those people, thousands and thousands, and they could be bringing that into this country.
Correct.
And the government is not doing anything about it. They're just putting them on buses and moving them all over the country.
Well, they're doing some primitive health screening, but there's so many of them. To do a thorough health screening on each one of those children would be a very, very difficult thing. And a lot of those children are coming with accompanied adults, too.
Right. I was watching on TV. They gave them a bus ticket, and they said, well, one went to Jersey, one to Vegas, California, and then they were supposed to show up at court, and they never show up because nobody even knows who they are.
No.
You know, so they could be spreading that, and the government don't even give a darn.
Well, there are other communicative diseases that are endemic to the area that are even more contagious, like tuberculosis.
Yeah, and so the people, I don't know, the people doesn't seem to be too upset about it. They're all saying, oh, the poor children. But we got our own children on the streets not even having help.
Right.
Well, you know that's...
I don't know what's going to happen, but... And our president's over there playing golf somewhere up in Cape Cod somewhere.
Well, so, and none of these bugs are in Cape Cod, I can tell you that.
Well,
the Chagas, if you look at the map from the CDC, it's in the south.
Yeah,
so,
but if they send those, say they send those kids up north, and like they were going to send them up to Chicago and all the different places, what happens then?
Well, that's why it's very important that we have public health and people get examined and checked out. And I think that's really important for all of us.
Yeah, well, you think that all the doctors could get together and tell the government they better do something?
Oh.
Well, what can an average person do? Nothing.
Wait a minute. This is not a political program, but I can just tell you that the government really isn't too interested in what the doctors have to say.
Yeah, they don't really care. And let me tell you, we could have a whole show on all the government intrusions in your health care and my health care and my ability to take wonderful care of you.
Yeah, so we could
have a whole program on that. But we're really here to help people understand,
yeah,
their health.
We listen to you every Friday, so keep up the good work.
Well, we love that you call, and any questions, call us anytime, okay?
Well, let me end this conversation with a little chuckle.
Yeah, this is a good one. Listen to this.
On the way to the show today, I was listening to a radio program. And there's a new coding system for diseases. It's called ICD-10. We're now in not the 9 version, but in the 10 version. In the 10 version, there's a code for running into a lamppost.
Oh, God.
And there's
gets better than that, Peter. Listen to this. Listen.
There's also a code for the second impact with a lamppost. And there's also a code for visiting an alien spaceship.
How do you like that?
Right. Well, that's our government. They don't know what the heck they're doing.
They
spend all that money on all this stuff, and it's worthless.
Can you imagine that?
And we're probably going to have to call up to get
him. I wish an alien would pick up Obama and take him away.
Well, we're not political, but we are telling you. But
I know, hon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your program.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
See, Art Bell was right.
Oh, my God. Thank you for calling in. If anybody else wants to call, 206-1580. I think this Chagas disease is very important. But remember, it's already here. So even if somebody came from another country, the bug is here.
The bug is here.
And the bug is here.
And it's if you draw a line through the northern part of California and extend it through Pennsylvania, everything south of that line, every area south of that line has the bug.
Hello, caller. What's your first name?
Hi, I'm trying to reach Coast to Coast radio program.
No, sweetheart.
No, she heard my comment about Art Bell. That's Dorothy. Hey, Dorothy.
Hi.
No, this is Dr. Triana.
What did you want to ask the doctor?
No, I was just kidding around.
Okay.
You were talking about UFOs and the government and conspiracies and what have you.
Oh. Well, Dorothy, do you have any medical questions for us?
Well, in the way I do, I'm 64 and Hello?
64 young?
Yeah. I've gone through the menopause, but I think I'm still going through it because every day now I've been getting these hot flashes. I think it's from that. You know, I feel very hot for a few minutes and then I'll cool down, and it comes in the, it goes, and like a few months ago, I didn't, you know, I was okay, and now the last few weeks, I've been having these hot spells every day.
Well, you know, sweetheart, that is very important. You need a thorough evaluation, because it may be the menopause. There's other causes, too, and it's very, I mean, those hot flashes are very uncomfortable.
Say that again. I feel like very panicky, and my hands start to sweat.
Yes, and then if it wakes you up at night, you feel like a wet sponge.
Uh-huh.
It's really no fun. But just so you know, you need a thorough evaluation. Your hormone levels need to be checked, and other issues need to be addressed, which is something we do in our office because we do a thorough exam and evaluation. It's not something I can just tell you yes or no over the phone.
Right. What else could it be besides menopause, you think?
Well, it could be anything from your blood pressure or if you're having panic attacks or if you have any cardiac arrhythmias.
If you
have thyroid problems. But all these things need to be checked. Remember, if you listen to the show, we've talked about the orchestra of hormones. Well, guess what? They all talk to each other, and they're all important. And that's why I am taking care of patients with these issues, because there is a lot out there that can be done and a lot of relief can be found.
Yeah.
So go to my website, sweetheart. And if you're interested, you can also make an appointment. I am taking new patients, but the very least, go to the website. Did you hear Dr. Maupin's show last week?
I think so. I usually listen every Friday.
Yes, it was about the female secret hormone. That book is great, too, to read. Mm-hmm.
Well, the program is online, too.
You can listen
to the program again.
You can listen to the program again on TrianaPreventionCenter.com.
Yeah, well, I don't have a computer, but I'll manage somehow.
Okay, sweetheart. Well, if you want, I'm going to be burning CDs of the show, of that one. If you want to call my office, we'll send you one for free. So you can listen to it in your car or anything else.
Yeah, I can get it to our Dr. Triana. She's a personal friend.
Yeah, I don't have a car either.
Yeah.
All right, Dorothy. Well, listen, take care, sweetheart. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye, doctor.
Bye-bye. Very sweet lady. So what we can do is, we want to just spread the information. It's so important.
Right. So important for a good life.
For
enjoying your life.
For more good years. So I hear a little staticky there. Are we getting a little static on the line there?
Let me tweak a couple of things here.
Okay. I heard a little static. So Chagas disease, that is very interesting.
Right.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about that?
Well, no, except that it is curable, and the only way you can get it is to be bitten by this bug that has bitten a person who has the parasite. So the bugs are very common in our country.
And how is that diagnosed? Through blood testing?
Yes, you do a blood smear, and you can actually see the parasites in the blood smear.
Ooh. Can you imagine? Well, there's really cool pictures on the internet where you see the bug. It looks,
right.
I mean, the bug.
Yeah, it looks like
it's a parasite.
Yeah, it looks like a little tiny snake or something like that. But it has a very typical appearance, and you can't really tell the difference between the American and the African variety that way. It's just there's the other ways to tell the differences, what happens to people clinically.
What does the African variety do?
Sleeping sickness.
Oh, okay.
Which is really a very devastating thing, and it's endemic to those same areas where we talked about having Ebola.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is really important to understand. You know, in the future, we're going to talk more also about these hot topics that are in the news, but also, again, to help you understand. You know, in Florida, we really are exposed. I had a patient, she came over yesterday, and she said that she got bit by a wasp. And, you know, there's wasps everywhere. We live on a farm. There's wasps everywhere. And she had a reaction. But then she swelled up, and it was red and hot and everything. It took about 4 days. Then she got bit again, and the reaction, which was even worse.
Right, because she got sensitized.
Because she got sensitized. And she said never before had she had this problem when she was younger. But it's important to know that you can become allergic to anything as you get older, even though when you were young or before you weren't allergic to. So her concern, again, was what if it happens again? Well, if it happens again, yes, it could be worse, and we gave her preventive measures and know what to look for. The worst case, if you have what's called an anaphylactic reaction, you get tongue swelling, shortness of breath, chest pain. Those are acute allergic reactions.
Well, that's really a life-threatening thing.
And that is very life-threatening, and you need to really know. And if you have this problem or you've had it before, you need to know about what you can do to prevent it. And also, you may need to have an EpiPen, which is given in these kind of dire events.
Right.
But going back to Chagas, which is, it is, again, give us, it's get bitten by a bug. What kind of bug? What does it look like?
The bug looks like a large fly. Usually it has a little color in the back, usually yellow or green or some stripes on it. And it bites more like a mosquito, because it has a probe, whereas a biting fly actually has two kind of jaws that come and bite. And it just sucks up blood, and when it does, it defecates.
Well, that's really important to know. So it's through that feces.
And in that defecation is where the trypanosomes live.
Right. It's in that feces, poop, or droppings, some people call it droppings, of this bug that contains that parasite. Right.
And the bug is unaffected by it. Bug's perfectly healthy and willing to come and share his feces with anybody.
So, and that's how it's spread. So it's really important and to know what are the symptoms.
Well, the symptoms start out originally. The symptoms can be local to where the bite was, so you would expect some swelling there. And then it starts out kind of like a cold, but there are some other telltale signs like swelling of the upper eyelid. And I can't tell you why that's one of the signs, but it is. And once the diagnosis is made, then there are several antibiotics that can be given that can rid the parasite from the individual.
In my studying, they explain the reason the eye is because people scratch where they got bit. They, like everything, our fingers are vectors. And what a lot of people do, that's even why they get pink eye. They scratch or they touch something, and then they touch their eyes.
Well, it's just like the children in Florida with impetigo. They get one little tiny pimple. They scratch it because it itches. They inoculate themselves. They inoculate themselves. I'm not so sure that that would kill it.
Yeah, I just held up a bottle of hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the best thing on earth is soap and water.
Yeah.
You know, it's such an important thing, soap and really but soap and water, not, you know, a quick wash. It's a good wash.
But since these bugs bite people usually when they're sleeping, they probably don't wake up, but they automatically will do, you know, will inoculate themselves.
So we have had, this is a very interesting, and about the Ebola virus, again, I think people need to know the Ebola virus is very important to understand, but I think the chances of us getting it here, according to the CDC director, is slim to none.
Right, because it's not transmitted by aerosol.
So what else is in the news? And I really want to put this out there. And before we run out of time, is there was an article in the Journal of Addiction. And what was the article about? Because people are asking me about those e-cigarettes. And they are saying in this journal that e-cigarettes are safer alternative to regular cigarettes. So why are they safer? In the article, they talk about the fact that, first of all, we all know all the different poisons that are in regular cigarettes. And that e-cigarettes do have aerosols, but the toxic levels are much less than tobacco smoke. And they said that their carcinogen content is negligible. In other words, really, in the e-cigarette, what you're getting is nicotine. When you smoke a cigarette, you're getting nicotine and whoosh, tons of other stuff, right?
Right, and a much higher dose.
And a much higher dose. And also, it isn't just the ingredients. There's an element of the hot smoke that goes into your lungs. You know, people don't think that makes a difference, but it does because those smokes, those chemicals, every time you breathe it into your lungs, it is affecting the lining, those cells in your lungs. Remember we had a program on COPD? Well, when those cells get hurt or damaged or scarred, that's how you get emphysema. That's how you get COPD because the scar tissue accumulates and you get trapping of air in your lungs.
Right.
So this is really important to know. So the way I look at e-cigarettes is, it could help to transition to no cigarettes. And I totally encourage absolutely no cigarettes.
Did it say anything about what it does for the craving for cigarettes?
Yes. It says that it helps with the craving because it does have nicotine. It can reduce smoking urges and might help motivate smokers to quit. Now, in the Addiction Journal, which is really important to know, they also said that some of these aerosols, which means the liquid becomes aerosol. Explain what that, Dr. Katzen.
Well, aerosol is when you take a liquid and you make it into sort of like a smoke because you take a solid, a a liquid and you atomize it so that it becomes a many tiny particles.
So that's important to know. Now, again, the, people who have already underlying lung disease, such as asthma, COPD, you know, that can become an irritant also. You know, there's some patients who have asthma and they can't even go into a room with someone who has perfumes because that goes into the air and that becomes an irritant.
Right.
So that's really important to understand.
And Dr. Triana, I recently interviewed someone who owns a vapor shop here in town, and I asked them about the cost, and they said a really deluxe one of these pipes or, you know, runs about $40 or $50. Now, that's basically the same cost as a carton of cigarettes. Each cartridge, and they come in different flavors now, runs about $6 to $8 each, but it's equal to 5 packs of cigarettes. This is what...
Oh, so it lasts a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to buy the actual e-cigarette and then...
You have to buy like a holder.
All right, the holder and then the cartridges. Look, I am not promoting any type of brand. What I'm saying is please analyze if you are a smoker, what is it you can do to quit? So it's not just about the e-cigarette. It's also, there's also patches, lozenges, gum, you know, I mean... If massage therapy will help you, whatever it takes, please. I tell my patients, you know, I'm here to help my patients. I don't judge, but I do tell them it is the most poison that you're putting into your body is through those cigarettes. It really is poison.
And it just doesn't affect the lung. It affects the blood vessels in your whole body.
Your blood vessels, it sets you up for a heart attack, stroke. It causes inflammation. It can predispose you to, you know, people never think about that. Bladder? Everybody thinks about the lung. But no, you can get bladder cancer from cigarette smoking. Really, there's no redeeming good quality about cigarette smoking. Plus, you know, one of the things we stress at the Triana Prevention Center is more good years. Be healthy. Let's enjoy life. My goodness, there's so many wonderful things to do here.
Besides smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, besides smoking, there's a wonderful things. And we're going to have more wonderful guests here, great topics. Look, you got to listen to the show, participate. We're here for you. Ask questions. Email us. We're available. If you need to make an appointment, our phone number is 625-1990. This is Dr. Triana. Thank you, Dr. Katzen. Thank you, Zane. Dr. Triana, from the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. Stay healthy. Don't go down that slippery slope. Thank you, everybody.